program on the ancient Indian philosophy. Vedanta is proudly sponsored by Auckland Tamil Association.
Good morning, everyone. Today we bring you the teachings of Swami Parthasarathy, Vedanta Treatise, and the topic we are discussing today is the strength of emotion. I will start the reading and we will take it further. It's emotion and intellection. The philosophy of Vedanta is profound. It eludes the grasp of the common person. Its true spirit has been lost. Time and again, critics raise an objection to Vedanta. They believe it inculcates callousness, that it has little regard for human relation, destroys human feeling, makes one indifferent, irresponsible towards the affairs of the world. The criticism is baseless, untenable. Ironically, Vedanta engenders chaste feelings. It only changes the quality of feeling from sensual to sublime. Transforms the character of emotion from personal to impersonal, selfish to unselfish, preferential to universal, converts the frail form of emotion into a pillar of strength. In fact, the transformation is brought about by the clarity of thought it develops. Thus, does Vedanta rehabilitate, regenerate humanity with human nature? Yet, its great blessing is misconstrued and denied to the human race. People wrongly believe that a person imbued with Vedanta is devoid of emotion, not realizing that Vedanta only cautions humanity against the onslaught of emotions. The flood of emotion can overpower you, victimize you, literally destroy you. William Shakespeare portrays this truth magnificently in his plays King Lear, Othello, Macbeth, and others. You must therefore keep your emotions well under the control of your discerning intellect. Be a master, no slave of your passion. You may entertain passion and not turn passionate. Harbor emotion and not become emotional. Have sentiment and not be sentimental. Emotionalism upsets your intellectual balance and poise. Passive subservience to emotion ruins your material and even spiritual well-being. Your intellect rather than the impulse of your mind should guide your life's activities. Do not fall a prey to your likes and dislikes, nor yield to your feeling and emotion. Learn to become self-sufficient. It is the prerogative of the human race. Oliver Goldsmith portrays an ideal human being in his poem, The Village Preacher. The poet describes the village preacher as one whose intellect reigns over the mind's feeling and emotion. His heart is replete with chaste emotions for his fellow beings, but never does he let his emotions disturb his intellectual poise. His head rules his heart. Goldsmith uses a striking metaphor to describe the grandeur of the preacher's personality. Compares him to a tall cliff that rises well above the level of the clouds. The clouds gather around the breast of the mountain, but do not disturb the serenity of the peak. The clouds represent the emotion of the mind, the peak the intellect. The emotions of the preacher never unsettle his intellectual awareness. The poem concludes with this metaphor. To them his heart, his love, his griefs were given, but all his serious thoughts had rest in heaven, as some tall cliff that lifts its awful form swells from the vale and midway leaves the storm. Though round its breast the rolling clouds are spread, eternal sunshine settles on his head. To have emotions, therefore, is a virtue, but it would be a grievous error to let them interfere with your intellectual awareness and judgment. That would be tantamount to spiritual weakness. Nevertheless, history reveals that humans have let their emotions overthrow discretion and judgment. In the Bhagavad Gita, the great warrior Arjuna was overwhelmed by his emotions. Completely deluded, he lost his intellect. He could not carry out his obligatory duty as a warrior. He laid down his bow and arrow and refused to fight a righteous war. Lord Krishna rehabilitated him with a knowledge of right values of life. It cleared his delusion, set his thinking right. Arjuna rose over his weaker emotion and fulfilled his obligation as a warrior. Let us now read about the facets of emotion. The human mind is composed of a wide variety of emotions. It ranges from obscene to pure, gross to subtle, demonic to divine. The quality of the emotion would depend on the direction it takes. An emotion that merely satisfies one's selfish, self-centered interest would be classified as impure, ignoble. Whereas that which extends beyond one's personal interest to accommodate the welfare of the community at large would be pure, noble. And when the emotion rises to embrace the entire universe, becomes all-pervasive, it is considered divine. Emotions become detrimental when they are concentrated in your selfish interest. Emotion acts like medicine. Medicine cures a disease when administered in proper dosage. The same medicine turns harmful, even fatal, when consumed in a concentrated form. That explains why medicine bottles bear the stamp poison on their labels. It is meant to warn users against concentrated dosage. So too, Vedanta cautions you against the peril of excessive egocentric emotion. A selfish emotion constricted to extremity could prove fatal. It is in your interest to heed this warning and avoid the devastating effect of emotion. A few emotions are described below and analyzed. There are different features projected. The emotion being the same difference in its equality and textures makes or mars a person. Study them carefully. Chasten your emotions. Make good use of them to mold yourself into a perfect human being. Let us understand love as a facet of emotion. Love is being in harmony with one and all. Love means realizing your identity with the world, your oneness with beings, to regard them as you would the different parts of your physical body. Every part of the body is dear to you. You look at it, look after it as your whole being, be it your fingers or toes, your eyes or ears. So must you feel and realize the unity with your fellow beings, your oneness with the entire universe. That is love, a feeling that helps you maintain a perfect harmony with the world. You then live in peace and bliss. And if you lack the feeling of oneness, consider yourself separate and distinct from the rest, you would fall out of harmony with the world. You deprive yourself of this great emotion of love and live a life of suffering and sorrow. That is the law.
Program on Vedanta. For more information on Vedanta studies, please contact Mr. Y. Ravindran on 027-275-8266.